Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. Coming to you from a fortunately wet Vancouver day as spring just desperately tries to fight through. Today I have the pleasure of chatting with Douglas Larson, who is an educational researcher and pediatric neurologist in the Department of Neurology and Pediatrics, where he's also an associate professor at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. Thanks, Doug, for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, thank you so much. Happy to do it.
We are going to talk, as you know, about a paper that you have coming out in the July 2017 issue of Medical Education called Tying Knots, an Activity Theory Analysis of Student Learning Goals in Clinical Education. And I guess where I hope to start with you is just this notion of self-regulated learning skills, and it's become an important and often studied topic in medical education, and I think we're recognizing that no matter what we do as educators, students are always to some degree self-regulated and self-directed. But you've had an opportunity to work with a formal program, right, as I understand it, to help students do it better. So can I start by asking you to tell our listeners a little bit about what you've been up to in this regard?
Yeah, sure. So the context of the study is that, you know, we had developed a program that actually was first piloted in our neurology clerkship, and then based on the successes that we had there, extended across our clinical curriculum, which for us is in the third year and is a part of all of our core clerkships. The idea behind this was to provide a mechanism to help students in their self-regulated learning and to make that more explicit. And so we had developed a program at the time of having students each week come up with two learning goals that were focused on how they could become more of a physician, more of a doctor for their patients, and to articulate an implementation plan for that goal, how they're going to carry it out and how they were going to track that. And then importantly, that they would then share that with their attendings and their residents to get feedback on their goal, as well as to then work together to figure out ways to incorporate that into the work of the week. This was actually the evolution of a project over several years, trying to understand how we can optimize learning from experience, and kind of settled on this program that seemed to be effective as far as having a high enough frequency that it kept people's goals in mind during busy clinical work, and yet was not so onerous that it was a challenge for the students or the attendings and the residents. And so once we had that in place, we wanted to understand how that actually worked. So that became the impetus for this research project and this paper, is to begin to understand how the tool was actually operating in practice.
And before we get into the details of the study, it sounds like the process has evolved over time. I'm sure you've learned a number of things, even without the systematic effort at studying it, that some of our readers and listeners will be interested in. And one of the things that comes to mind for me is that oftentimes these sorts of formal efforts at getting people to reflect or to generate learning goals or something else creates a situation where people go through the motions. They do things because they feel like they have to, as opposed to it being a genuine or authentic representation of what you're trying to encourage. Have you had to attend to those issues?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in fact, that was even one of the things that came out in our paper was, again, the choices that people make as far as, are they going to use this as a tool for themselves, or do they just see this as an externally imposed requirement that, as we talk about, becomes really an educational dead end? And in fact, that's the very tension, I think, that became key for us, is that, again, a key finding of the paper was that when these were effective, when these were something that people found meaning to, it was actually when it became about the social interaction, and it wasn't just simply about their own internal cognitive processes. I think that when people didn't have that social interaction, that's when it really became what you were referring to, which is just kind of, you know, I have to do this. It's just essentially busy work because it's something that is a formal program that doesn't actually provide much value to me. As you alluded to, I think that's a challenge that we face really throughout education. Whenever we create programs, we obviously have principles or outcomes that we want to achieve with our students. And so we often create curricula, we create programs that have good foundations, but then they don't always play out the way that we think that they will. And that, again, was why we felt like it was so important to take the approach that we did of using a qualitative approach to really begin to understand people's experiences. And then when we saw the complexity of that, developing and using a theoretical framework that could help us account for that complexity and help us account for all of those different factors, all of those different motivations. And that was one of the great things that we found, was that cultural historical activity theory, or CHAT, really helped us to do that and helped us begin to understand how these pieces fit together, because we saw a lot of tensions within that, you know, the tensions of people's own efforts, the externally imposed requirements, and then the complex clinical environment that they were operating within, both on the learner side, but then also on the supervisor side.
So let's leave most of the methodological details for people to gather from the paper, because it'll be too complex to go through your analysis in a brief period of time. But what is cultural historical activity theory, for those who haven't heard about it? And I'll remind listeners that the title of the paper started with tying knots. What is that an allusion to?
Sure. So maybe I can take that stepwise to talk about kind of what cultural historical activity theory is, and then talk about knot working, which is what the allusion refers to. So cultural historical activity theory, or activity theory for short, or CHAT, really emerges from the work by Vygotsky in the early 20th century, when he developed his idea of mediated cognition. So the idea that as humans, we need tools and signs or language to mediate both our thoughts as well as our actions and our activities. And that one of the ways that we gain control over or work within our environments is by using these tools and these signs. This work was then developed and grew various other theorists, but it's gone in many different directions, and CHAT has many iterations. But my work currently is most closely aligned with the exposition of CHAT that Engstrom has used, where he's broken down all of those elements within what's called an activity system, you know, not just the person using a tool for an action, but then also looking at how communities, rules, and divisions of labor also play into that, and then how all of those elements come together to create an outcome. And so CHAT provides us a means of understanding how do people use tools to achieve the objects and the outcomes that they want, and realizing that oftentimes those objects and those outcomes are in tension with each other. There can be multiple objects, and that people have to work through those contradictions and those tensions, and the tools can potentially help to resolve those tensions.
So the tools in this case are the learning goals that students are generating, and the tensions are how those goals can conflict or contradict one another?
Exactly. This is why we felt like CHAT was a really good fit for us, because the idea that how do we use tools in our activities, and so learning goals was an obvious fit for that. How does the learning goal work as a tool? And analyzing that within the context of competing outcomes, and so what we saw as we looked at the context was that there was tension and competition and even contradiction between the outcomes of professional development, which is what we would think the goals tend to work towards, and patient care, as well as the grading that occurs within the system and the formal elements of a curriculum and a school structure. All of those are in competition with each other, and the goals provide a means, or potentially a means, for the learner as well as the supervisor to then navigate those tensions and that competition. I don't know if that answers your question very well.
Very well, actually. And so you're trying to sort through these tensions of skill development and grading and patient care. And I remember from your paper that you're highlighting that the right people for each of those components had to be together. Is that where the knot working comes in? Is you're sort of tying all these things around in intersections with one another?
Right. So Engstrom had come up with the idea that the elements of the system can come together in a tenuous knot, a metaphorical knot, but the tension of the system makes that knot fluid. And so the elements both come in and go out over time. And that's what we saw in our case, is that you have this tension between all of these different things that have to be done, And there's even just the tension of how clinical work is performed. Again, the fact that you have a constantly changing team. So the student and the supervisor is constantly changing. The patients are constantly changing. And so they come together around an activity. And in this case, the learning goal can potentially be the focus of that, where they come together around the learning goal to accomplish some new activity that has been defined by that learning goal. Again, that idea of a knot becomes powerful because it allows us to capture this idea of fluidity, that there's so much going on that the knot can unravel just as easily as it can form. And any one of those three can unravel the knot. And so this idea that there's no one true center, that center kind of shifts back and forth between the student, the supervisor, the patient, implies this kind of system that's in constant flux. And within that, you have this goal that is trying to bring them all together. Again, any one of those can disrupt that convergence. So if the student chooses to not put anything into their goal, to not have that goal be important, they're obviously not going to be contributing to that. If the supervisor decides not to engage or to collaborate with the student, that also disrupts that convergence. But also the patient, if the goal doesn't align with the patient's needs or the patient's characteristics, then that convergence doesn't occur as well. And so you see this constant flux that's dependent on all of those things coming together. And so that's why we use that idea of not working and that whole idea of it's about tying those knots. And this activity is successful if those knots are tied. If the knots are not tied, then the activity does not emerge and learning really does not seem to occur in those situations.
It strikes me as a very powerful metaphor. And again, we're going to leave our readers to seek out the paper to get some more of the details of how that all fits together. But it was an impressive analysis and a very interesting and powerful lens to lay over it. I'm sure what many of our listeners will want to hear by way of wrap up is going back right to where we started, thinking about how you continue to develop and improve upon this program. What is it that you're now doing differently as a result of having laid this theoretical lens over these formal learning programs that you've created?
Sure. So really, the changes even began concurrently during this research. Again, understanding that this is about collaboration, and this is about creating a social context for learning, not just our own internal processes. And so our focus has really been on faculty and resident development, helping them to understand that they play a critical role in this and that it's not simply about students and their goals. We have ongoing efforts at learner development of helping the students to understand that their self-advocacy, that their active engagement with their supervisors is an important part of this. We've also extended this program now vertically within our curriculum. We have elements of it in our first and second year, and so we're actually even currently engaged in a follow-up research project trying to understand what changes when you change the context, and do those same dynamics occur, or how are they shifted when you shift that context? But I think the take-home message for me in this entire process is that we've got to look at how the elements of the system come together. We can't just create educational innovations and programs and insert them and just assume that they're going to do what we want them to do. We've really got to think about how all of the elements of the system come together. We've got to pay attention to the material aspects of this. Again, thinking about the goals as a material that plays a part of the system and not just some abstraction. And if we begin to look at those principles throughout all of the elements of our programs and our curricula, it really helps us to begin to understand how they work and how do we improve them and how do we shape them so they can accomplish what we really want them to do.
Good advice and a good reminder that none of these things are easy and it'll take some dedicated effort. So I'm happy to have had the chance to talk with you, and we'll direct our listeners again to the paper entitled Tying Knots, an Activity Theory Analysis of Student Learning Goals in Clinical Education, that you'll find in the July 2017 issue of Medical Education. You've just heard from the first author, Doug Larson, during our conversation today. Thanks, Doug. That was informative and very interesting, and I look forward to seeing what sort of reaction the paper gets.
Thank you so much.